Are you reeling in the years like Steely Dan? They just keep adding up, don't they? Time marches on, and oh my God, I'm in my late 30s. Oh my God, I'm in my 40s. Jesus, I'm over 50. What happened? So if you're struggling a bit with your fitness and health, we're going to help you out today. And maybe you're a bit apprehensive about aging and keeping your body healthy as the years keep adding up. So what if there is a way to get your body in the best shape of your life, even with some simple tips that are easy to do? Would you do it? Well, I hope that answer is yes, and we're going to help you with that today. This is your podcast for health and inspiration, Which Way Is Life? I'm your host, Bill Klaproth. Thank you for joining me on this podcasting journey. This is episode number 76, and if you like what you hear today, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Just search for my show, Which Way Is Life? Right up there. I'll pop up, rate and review. I would greatly appreciate it. My guest today is physique competitor, fitness and nutrition enthusiast, and host of the Low Carb Leader podcast, Dan Perryman. Dan will teach us how we can look and feel our best at 50 and beyond. Dan has insight into the world of healthcare as he will share with us how to make great health decisions in order to avoid sickness and disease. Dan is also a 20-year hospital CEO, so when it comes to healthcare, this man knows what he's talking about. Dan, thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
I love it. All right. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Yes. I think they should sleep better. And that not a lot of people think about that, but all our recovery, all our health is based on how well we sleep at night.
Such a good point. A lot of us take that for granted. You know, sometimes we wear that as a badge of honor. You know, gosh, I only got 4 hours of sleep last night. Well, that's really nothing to be proud of because you're damaging your body, right?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of things people can do to improve their quality of sleep. You know, in the health business, what I like to say is that you can connect it to weight loss because it's very difficult to lose weight if you don't sleep well.
Well, once you connect it to something that's important to you, all of a sudden it takes on a whole new importance level.
Exactly.
All right, Dan, before we dig into your story, let us in on your personal life a little bit. What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
Yeah, well, what brings me joy is helping other people. I mean, spending 20 years in healthcare, you know, I think we can kind of change the world one by one. So if we can, I really believe that people should live healthy lives. And if we can even change one at a time, I think that that has, you know, impacts with their family, with their friends. So I just like to try to promote health, promote wellness, promote, you know, positive mindset. And that's what I kind of do on the side.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're on the same wavelength there, that's for sure. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Okay, Dan, so from your experience, what are the cultural impacts on people in their 50s in the world of health and wellness?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I'm actually turning 50 this year. So this actually got me thinking a lot about what the differences are. I think, obviously, people that, you know, when you were 18, you know, recovery, health, it probably wasn't a big issue. I mean, you could make more health mistakes when you're younger and you can kind of recover from them. But as you get older, even in 40s, you know, 40, people say, oh, 40's a changing point. Well, in the last year, I've done a couple of physique shows, and I think in your 40s, you can still, you know, stay in shape pretty well. But I think, at least personally to me, turning 50 is kind of this tipping point where the decisions we're making at 50 are definitely going to affect us later in life. And so, you know, I have a lot of dementia in my family and cancer. And so in the last 10 years, I've thought about, like, I'll work out and because I want bigger muscles and I want to look better. But now, at least in my life, it's more about how do I want to live the next 30 years Because, you know, in medicine, we're really good at keeping people alive. It's the quality isn't always there. So I'm trying to figure out how can I set myself up and others for having a really good quality of life after 50.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And those bad habits of your younger years can catch up to you in your 50s and beyond. That's for sure. So how do we overcome maybe those bad influences of those younger years and create new, better practices?
Yeah, that is the question. I think there's three main areas. It's sleep, which I talked about. It's so underrated, but sleep, you know, they've done studies that after just a few days of sleep deprivation, which they classify as like 6 hours versus 8 hours, you're operating at a level that is almost like under the influence of alcohol. And but the interesting part is your body, your mind has a way to cover that up. So your mind will kind of tell you that you're okay, suboptimal, which is very interesting because your body's very smart. So sleep, and I think a few tips there are just set the same bedtime and get up at the same time every single day, including the weekend. If you exercise just a little bit, I think we've all heard of Tabata, just these 4-minute quick workouts. You do that in the morning, you're going to sleep better. And then this is always hard for me because I like to drink just coffee all the time, but set yourself a caffeine curfew, like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because half of the caffeine stays in your body for like 6 to 8 hours after you drink it. So if you're like my parents' generation who would drink coffee at 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you know, that caffeine's in your body all night long, kind of messing with your hormones and not allowing you to sleep well. And so I think that, it's very important.
So, Dan, you're talking about sleep so much, and you said something, you know, even after a couple days of not getting enough sleep, it really can affect you. So for people that have had chronic sleep issues or just don't get quality of sleep, like you were talking about when we first started talking, if you go a period of years where you're not getting quality of sleep, that really can wreak havoc on your health, right? And your whole mental state, too.
Yeah, absolutely. They did a study, and I think they actually labeled this shift work as a carcinogenic. I think it's officially labeled as a carcinogenic because disrupting your sleep patterns, like you said, for years and years, will actually shorten your life. It is so detrimental to your health. And I think, you know, people, I know a lot of people, and especially in the medical world, that people want a pill, you know, they want a quick fix. And I think the quick fix for sleep that a lot of people take is a sleeping pill, alcohol, whatever, to help them sleep. But there's all types of negative effects from that. So I think it's simple. It's just setting the same bedtime, getting in a routine, turning your iPhone off, because, you know, it's just not the blue light. It actually winds you up. When you're texting back and forth, you know, the Facebook has it figured out where they're going to keep you involved. And so your mind's, you know, cranking along, going through Facebook, and then you just turn it off and go to bed. So you've not only suppressed your melatonin, you've actually excited your brain. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder why you can't sleep.
Right. It just makes so much sense. So pay attention to sleep, really. And if you're not getting quality sleeps, you may be sleeping through the night, but you wake up and you feel like you've been hit with a truck. Maybe that's a sign you should go in and maybe have a sleep study done, or at least go see your physician and find out what's going on. So we are talking about creating better health practices. So sleep is one. What about food and nutrition?
Yeah. So I have a podcast, the low carb leader. So it's definitely going to be low carb slanted, and just a little bit about like my journey. So about maybe eight years ago or so, I was just actually looking for a way to avoid that post lunch crash, because I would eat a big lunch and I'd feel terrible. And I'd look, okay, I'll just eat a salad then. And that actually led to me researching with my son about low carb nutrition, ketogenic nutrition. And what I found is that if you cut the one thing everybody should do is cut out sugar. I mean, that's for sure. There's a lot of research around how damaging sugar is to your body, and so it is. I mean, that's like, obviously, if there's going to be one thing you do, it's cut that out. And then just really go to a whole food, minimally processed type of diet. And, you know, I prefer low carb just because it works well with my body. But especially if you're trying to lose weight, you're not going to be able to lose weight. But if you just switch from like the standard American diet of McDonald's and the stuff we eat all the time, just to a whole food, you know, fruits, vegetables, minimal fruit, more vegetables, meat, fish, just things without a label, I think that would probably change everybody's health really positively.
Okay, so those are really good tips, a way for us to start that new health process as we grow older. You have this concept called saving willpower for wellness. Can you explain the idea of that?
Yeah. So I find that fascinating because there's a lot of research around willpower. And even though not all the experts agree, it's basically, and I think everybody can relate to this, that, you know, you can't really make good decisions nonstop all day long. And so, you know, you wake up, it seems like you're fresher, you make better decisions. And there's research about later in the day. Some say you actually just work willpower. So the reason I say you need to save willpower for wellness is because, you know, it's hard for some people to work all day, especially like if you're in a job where you're making a lot of decisions, and then go work out because you're like mentally exhausted. So you have to save some time. You have to plan your day around where you're going to actually make the decision to go work out. So if that is you wake up and you can go work out and you're like, okay, I got the mental power to go work out, the willpower, and go work out. If you can do it later in the day, then do it that way. I just think that people don't think about exercising and nutrition in a deliberate way. They just kind of say, okay, well, I'll go work out later on in the day. And then that time comes and then they don't want to do it because they're tired or whatever. So I think it just has to be more deliberate thinking and a deliberate mindset around wellness because, you know, as we get older, you can have all the money in the world. But if you have terrible health going into your retirement, you're going to have a miserable retirement. And so I think we just need to be deliberate about what we do.
Right. Set that intention for wellness. So that makes sense. And I like that phrase, saving willpower for wellness. So, Dan, as a hospital CEO, longtime hospital CEO, what can you share with us so we can educate ourselves to the workings of the healthcare system?
Yeah. Number one, inform yourself. That's for sure. Because, you know, we have a good healthcare system in the U.S. for those listening in the U.S. and across the world, but U.S. specific, we have very good doctors, but then, you know, we did a study of ranking cost versus quality in hospitals, and the U.S. has the highest cost, but they have the lowest quality. And I know a lot of people don't know that, but and the reason I say that is because, you know, the health system makes a lot of mistakes. Doctors, the way they diagnose is based on the art and the science. And so I've seen a lot of people not really be directed down the wrong path, but because they're not informed. And so I think if you have an issue, especially if you have a chronic health issue, it's your responsibility to become informed. Just don't take your doctor's word for it. Don't take the hospital's word for it. Because, I mean, they're making decisions that are going to dramatically impact your life. And so become informed. And then, we have to change the mindset around a pill will fix the problem. Because especially like diabetes right now, it's just take drugs, take insulin, take pills, instead of looking at a preventative way you know, to approach these problems. But the problem in healthcare right now is that doctors and hospitals are not incentivized for prevention. They're incentivized to treat. So we have a sick care system rather than a preventative healthcare system. And so just be informed and, you know, take accountability for what you do in your life when it comes to eating and working out and sleeping and doing all those things that you know are healthy.
That's right. You are your own best health advocate. That's for sure. So that's a really a good tip. So Dan, you mentioned earlier you're turning 50, and I understand you're writing a new book about that. So what will we find in your book to help us stay healthy?
Yeah. So you know, I'm looking at what are the chronic conditions around being 50, and what are the things that we can do. So actually, right now I'm experimenting. So I've done a lot of working out at the gym, but I'm experimenting with home workouts to try to put a chapter in there about busy people that don't have time to get to the gym. You can still be healthy at home. You can still do things at home. You can plan your meals. So I'm really going to try about practical tips, what people can do, as opposed to the theory, because I don't think people are interested in the theory, but I assure you, I will talk about sleep and morning routines, and I think it's important. And so it's really just why are we a little bit different at 50 than we were at 40 or 30?
Well, that sounds good, and we'll keep you posted when that book comes out. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Dan Perryman, but if I could ask a quick favor again, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's very easy to do. It takes 30 seconds. If you have an iTunes account, jump on over to iTunes, click on podcasts, search Which Way Is Life. My page will pop up. Click on the ratings and reviews tab. All you have to do is give me a star rating, give me a quick review. And by doing that, we gain a higher ranking in iTunes, a wider audience, and we can help more people. And that's what we're trying to do here, trying to give you some advice and some suggestions on how you can live your best, healthy, inspired life. So if you could do that, I really would appreciate it. The High Five with Dan is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dan Perryman. Dan, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Question number one. So what lit your passion for healthcare?
Trying to find a way to be healthier and looking at my family and seeing that they have a lot of health issues and making sure that myself and my children did not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question number two. So what is the draw of physique competitions, because you're a physique competitor, for a hospital CEO?
I actually did the physique show just to see how low I could get my body fat. I just wanted to do it one or two times as kind of a bucket list. But yeah, taking my shirt off in public was a challenge there.
All right, question number three. You just mentioned morning routine. So I like to ask my guests from time to time what their morning routine is, because I believe a really good morning routine can set the foundation for a great day. So please share with us, what's your morning routine? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'll start. Just one thing I do at night is I make sure I plan out whatever work I'm working on the next day. So that's the beginning of my morning routine. I get up at the same time every day. I have an alarm in years, but I go to bed at the same time. I get up, I drink coffee. I do breathing. I think breathing is really important. And I always start with reading something that will be positive in my life. So reading something that's motivational, I think that's a great way to start. And then I usually do a 4 minute, just a Tabata, jumping jacks or something to get myself moving. And then I drink 2 glasses of water with lemon in it. And that's kind of what I do every morning.
Pretty darn cool. All right, we're going to put all that up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So you can find that there, and maybe you can incorporate that into your morning. All right, question number 4. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
I do. It's from John Quincy Adams. It says, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader."
Ooh, I love that quote. Yeah, that's really cool. All right, and that will also go up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. All right, question number 5. Finish this sentence, Dan. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
The most important thing I've learned is to be open to others' constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm, because you can always learn something there.
You can always learn something, right?
Always.
You should never stop learning.
Very true. Well, Dan, thank you for being on today. The podcast is The Low Carb Leader, so make sure you check that out. And how can we connect with you?
Yeah, if you go to thelowcarbleader.com, there's links to all the podcasts and all my social media sites.
Very cool. And again, we will put all that up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Well, Dan, thanks. And as we close out the interview, I'm going to share one of my favorite quotes as well, which is, "Remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things." Dan, thanks again for your time.
Hey, thank you so much.
And there you have it, longtime hospital CEO Dan Perryman. So cool to have him on and talk with him today. And if you could, I would really appreciate it if you could give me a rating and a review on iTunes. I know I sound like a broken record, but if we get a bigger audience, we help more people, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here. And make sure you hit the subscribe button as well to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. And Which Way Is Life is brought to you by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.